People are calling this tendency affluenza. So we're going to take a little quiz here. So what do you think? Which of the following is comparable in size to today's typical three-car garage? A basketball court, a McDonald's restaurant, an RV, or the average home in the 1950s? Any guesses?
D.
Yeah, D. So the average family lived in what is now a three-car garage. Since the 1950s, Americans have used more resources than everyone who ever lived before them, the combined third world populations, the Romans at the height of the Roman Empire, or all of the above. What do you think? All of the above in the last 65 years. I think this was from 2015. So. Yeah, so that kind of puts it into perspective. That if every day we say, well, if I just had a little bit more, then I would be happy, then I would be satiated. And then we lose all proportion of what happened before and what people were able to live with before us. And things become normal that weren't normal before, but to the extent that we are using 1.5 times the Earth's resources as a global population. So affluenza is described as a painful, contagious, socially transmitted condition of overload, debt, anxiety, and waste, resulting from the dogged pursuit of more. Our technologically advanced society has achieved wonders our ancestors could never have envisioned. We've put people on the moon, decoded DNA, and cured diseases. The problem is, this collective level of power is also destroying our world. Countless seemingly innocent activities and choices are acting together to bring about the sixth mass extinction in our planet's history. So we've done great things, and it's amazing what we can do now, right? And there's the other side of it. And here we get into the structural piece, the structural sin piece. That sin in its fullest sense refers to disorientation from right relationship with God, which then leads to disorientation from right relationship with self, others, and all of creation. So it's not something that we're doing by ourselves, and it's not something that we can fix by ourselves, right? But it's this structure that we're held in where we're disoriented from right relationship. So one of the most telling stories about affluenza is this teenager named Ethan Couch. I don't know if you heard about him, but he stole some alcohol. He was driving drunk, and he struck and killed 4 people. One passenger in his car was paralyzed, and others were injured. Then he fled the scene, and of course he's white. And his lawyer claimed affluenza as his defense because he was never taught to connect his actions with their consequences. So the lawyer claimed it wasn't this kid's fault because he hadn't been taught to connect actions with consequences. So he hadn't ever been taught that if you drive drunk and hit somebody, then you're responsible for that. So he was sentenced to an upscale teen substance abuse and mental health rehab facility that his parents paid for. And then he eventually also had to serve 2 years in prison because he didn't meet with his probation officer regularly. But otherwise he wouldn't have had to serve jail time because they basically let him off on this defense because he hadn't been taught any better. So this is kind of the definition of affluenza, of not connecting our actions with their consequences. So unfortunately, we do this all the time, right? We eat food that we have no idea where it came from and where the packaging from it came from, where the packaging is going to go after we throw it away, what the treatment of the people was like in the factories that produce the packaging and in the farms that produce the food or the factories that process the food. We have no idea what the supply chain was. We have no idea what chemicals were used on those plants and in those factories. So we're not connecting our actions with their consequences. So we all suffer from this to some degree, unfortunately, probably, if we live here. And it's kind of inescapable, because if we thought about all of those things all the time, we wouldn't be able to do anything, right? We'd be kind of paralyzed. So this is where it gets into thinking about getting over that moral oblivion. So when we think about structural sin and we see ourselves enmeshed in that, the first step is recognizing the structures that are holding us there and seeing them and being aware of them. So we're kind of taking that first step today, or possibly you've taken that step already, and that's why you're here, because you're interested in this topic, of just becoming aware of the environmental problems that are out there and how they're related to our actions and how they're causing injustice for people today and people in the future. This structure is pretty invisible to those who benefit from it, and so that means that for those of us who are privileged people, we have to listen to people that are oppressed by these systems and be really willing to listen to those voices. Otherwise, we can't see it very well. And this happens no matter whether the individual people involved in the system are personally virtuous or not. And that's the hard part about it, because each of us is trying so hard to be virtuous people, right? We're trying so hard to be the people of God and the people that God wants us to be. And yet we're stuck in this structure. And so it's really important to not let this get you down and make you feel like, I'm such an evil person. But we're caught in this whether or not we're trying to be virtuous. And it's transmitted from generation to generation. We transmit it to our kids. We give them the expectation that they'll have a similar lifestyle, right? And then it's expanded by concentration of power. So we see this happening with globalization, where the Western model of expansion has now reached most of the way around the globe, right? And impacted most countries in the world because of the concentration of power in that hierarchy that we talked about, and the willingness of many of us to go along with it because it benefits us to some degree. And so there's this privilege paradox where you can't dismantle structural sin just by doing individual actions, right? My individual actions aren't going to dismantle this system. But it can't be dismantled without our individual actions, right? So we still need to act even though our actions aren't going to make the difference. So we need collective action and a collective moral agency to combat the moral oblivion that we've been talking about. So we collectively try to be oblivious as a culture and ignore the whole supply chain and the justice issues and all those things. And so to combat that, we need collective moral agency. So my choices can't fix the problem, but I still need to act. That's part of my responsibility as a human being who's part of a community. And that begins with remembering. So I talked about the concept of remembering, bringing the members back together. So we're part of one body. So when we think of the church as the body of Christ, remembering ourselves and being an actual body that that supports one another and that does the work of a body together, that's important. And then also extending that out into the whole of creation, where as a body of Christ, we're part of this broader ecosystem, and we need the other parts of the ecosystem in order for ourselves to survive. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard to breathe or drink water or have food to eat, right?